Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company. Mindful Coffee is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Trust us when we say this is a cup of joe you will crave every morning. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys, fun episode today. I have the head cider maker of Mountain West Hard Cider Company, Joel. Joel, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's about time you came on here, my man.
Well, you've never asked me out.
Oh yeah, there we go. I'm asking you out today.
Well, I'd gladly go out.
But you are my first. Cider maker I've ever had on the show. So thanks for being the first.
Oh, well, I'll be gentle.
Let's hope so. So Joel, right off the bat, I want to know for the people who are listening, who's Joel? Who are you, man? Where you come from? What do you do? Why? Who are you?
I'm just a mild-mannered winemaker, cider maker from originally the Pacific Northwest.
There you go. And so what brought you to Utah?
Ready for a change of pace. Ready to move on, try a new adventure, had a great opportunity, fell in love with Salt Lake City the first time I came here, and here I am.
There you are, huh? So you said Pacific Northwest, so what state were you in?
I grew up in the Seattle area.
Okay.
And I had my own winery for 20 years, about an hour east of Portland, Vancouver, in the Columbia River Gorge.
So what got you into winemaking? That's curious.
Unemployment. No, I right out of college, I jumped right into the wine business, more on the marketing side.
Okay.
And I was, you know, it's still kind of my forte, or I think I'm as solid as at marketing as I am at producing, you know, quality product. But as I dabbled more into the business, I kind of got excited about the production side and started learning and started kind of leaning over towards the craft side of the business.
So explain the first wine you made. Do you remember that?
The first wine I made?
Yeah. What got you into all of a sudden, like, I'm going to make this goddamn wine? Did someone teach you? Were you there to?
Well, I was around the production for several years before I, you know, became a winemaker. So I knew about that. It was more honing in on the mathematics and the formulas and the chemistry and that side of it that was the real challenge.
So you went from grapes to apples.
Yeah, which, you know, fruit's fruit.
Yeah.
So cider making is no different than winemaking.
Interesting. And how many wines at a time? So you said you owned a winery.
Yeah.
So how many wines were in one select? Like, did you have a 1,000 bottles at one time? Like, how was your selection?
I did about 12 different varietals. Syrah, Cabernet, Merlot, Zinfandel, Viognier, Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Gewürztraminer, and Cab Franc and whatever else, Malbec, whatever else I'm forgetting.
Good hell. Yeah. Champagne as well?
No. Just as a small business, hanging on to champagne, the inventory index figures for hanging on to champagne are astronomical. You have to, you know, inventory it for several years. And so by that time, you have to be where you need like $80 a bottle.
Damn.
And I don't want to charge somebody $80
yeah,
for a bottle.
Yeah, I see that. And so what made you up and leave the winery? Did you get sick of the wine business? Did you get sick of making wine?
Sick of Seattle? I love the wine business. It was a lot of work, and I have two sons who are they weren't real interested in taking over the wine business, and I was ready for something new. I had 20 years of just a phenomenal run. I wouldn't trade those years for anything, but it was a lot of work because I had a vineyard and I had the wine production. Then you have the marketing side. Then you have running a business. Then you have to be a mechanic when the tractor breaks down.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
You know, it's
plumbing,
just,
all that, everything.
Oh yeah.
Electrician, all of that.
All of that.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come across getting a vineyard? Like, I think if I could do two things when I retire, it'd be an umpire for baseball, because I think that's the most belittling thing, is going just out. You know, like just with your hand.
Show me your, you're out.
No, it would be, I just go, out. Like, you want this dramatic thing, just out, sorry. And then I want to own a vineyard. So how did you come across a vineyard?
So when I first got into the wine industry, I worked for the largest winery in the world. Again, more on the marketing side. And then I love the business, but I hate working for the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at other wineries and the potential to build a smaller winery in the Pacific Northwest. And I came across one that I thought was underachieving their potential. And so I approached them on a sweat equity type thing. Okay. It was for sale. And I said, what if I went and build it and build up your sales and production and cut me in? And so I did that. And after 5 years, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go out on my own.
No way. That's awesome.
I had nothing to lose.
Obviously.
I had, you know, a middle-class kid from Seattle. I had nothing to lose.
No way. That's so cool. I can see you lighting up a cigar, drinking a glass of wine with in a row of grapes. That'd be so cool.
I couldn't afford cigars.
Okay, just cheap stogies from the store, the smoke shop. That's so cool to me. And then I think Seattle, I think green, I think a lot of water.
Everybody thinks rain. That. And we're talking, everybody thinks Seattle, Washington, how do you grow grapes there?
Yeah.
But you get into eastern Washington, you go an hour east of Seattle, all of a sudden it's dry. Seattle probably gets 65 to 70 inches of rain per year. You go an hour and a half east and it goes down to 10 to 20.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea on that. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then did you only use grapes from your vineyard? Or did you get grapes? Did you source grapes?
I sourced grapes. I only had, about 15 acres of vineyard, but the cool thing is where the winery was, I was in a county that had three AVAs, three appellations.
Okay.
An appellation is like Napa, Columbia Valley, Sonoma. Those are all, growing regions. So, in Klickitat County, we had the Columbia Gorge AVA, the Horse Heaven Hills AVA, and the Columbia Valley AVA.
Wow.
So I had, within an hour, I had every grape in the world.
You were in the spot. You were there.
Yeah.
Wow. And then 20 years into it, you decided to come to Utah. So you said you came to Utah, Salt Lake, but what enticed you? So why Salt Lake? Why not go to, East Coast? Why not go to Kansas? Well, why not go to Texas?
Jeff and Jen, who own Mountain West, that's when they were flirting with the idea of opening a hard cider company.
Okay.
And so I have this joke that we met on Tinder for winemakers.
For winemakers.
Yeah. So they were looking for someone to come in and be their cider maker. And I was thinking, I wouldn't mind just a free vacation, weekend vacation in Salt Lake and check it out. But I came here and they were just gracious and they had a plan. And it was just one of those weekends where the weather was great. There was tons going on. I was like, Salt Lake's got it going on. Not what bad. A nice little town.
Yeah. I mean, Jen and Jeff are great people.
Yeah.
Like, I think I haven't seen them angry, but I've never not seen them angry. So there was nice, kind, even the guests, when I see them, customers are coming in, I'm like, good God, these guys are like always going, go, 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 go. Yeah. And like, I'm like, damn, it's hard to find those kind of people nowadays.
Well, I could Jeff's kind of guy that the mayor could be here and there could be a guy emptying the trash out back and he treats them the same. And it just, I just stare in awe.
And that's beautiful. Because I remember when I first met him, he was in the middle of carrying something and he dropped everything. He's like, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And then he picked it back up and kept going.
No, he'll go back and, he's the kind of guy that will go back and just talk to the garbage man and say, hey, can I see your truck?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Good for you. That's like, I mean, you lined it up lined up in a great place. I mean, I feel like Utah, north of Utah, is this the first hard cidery in Utah by chance?
Oh, yeah.
It is?
There's another facility that produces hard cider, but that's not their specialty. And we're you know, we do exclusively hard cider.
And then I heard there's a cidery opening up in
Torrey.
Torrey, Utah, which is southern Utah.
And it might already be open.
Probably. I'm not sure yet. I got to look in that. But hopefully they do. Well, I haven't tried anything.
And we wish them the best of luck. And
find out.
I would do anything to help them.
So, I mean, in the future, I'm going to jump the gun real quick on a question, but do I see a collab happening? Can there be a collab from North and South?
I don't know. Well, let's let them get established first.
And then do something?
Yeah.
I can see that. That'd be really cool.
If we did something like that, I would want to work with – you're a brewer, mm-hmm. but I think it'd be if you did one, and you have, right?
Brew or a cider?
You've done
a beer?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I would want to work with a cidery that was complete opposite of us.
Oh.
Like if we did something like that, I'd want to work with someone that was just 180 degrees different than us.
So almost like challenge?
Not challenge, but you meet somewhere in the middle and it can be kind of cool. But if I worked with a cidery that, you know, they made cider pretty much just like us, that'd be boring.
Gotcha. Okay, I can see that. Because you think something new, something that you haven't thought of.
Yeah.
Me, you guys can meet in the middle, kind of make something sexy.
Yeah.
Boom. Interesting. You're blowing my mind, Joel. You continue.
Well, what's of all the breweries in Utah, what would you consider the most opposite of Strap Tank?
The most opposite of Strap Tank right now at Tosa Barrels.
I'd have to go to Tosa Barrels
doing a bunch of sours and seltzers right now. They're waiting for their great sours to come out, but all you gotta do is give it time. And then, probably Tosa Barrel top of my head, but who knows? I mean, there's so many brewers out here, which leads to a question I have for you. When it comes to breweries, distilleries, and cideries, you have two cideries. You have about 15-ish distilleries.
Yeah, probably.
And you have almost 20 to 30 breweries. So, I mean, that's the small end of the market there, Joel. So is that hard to have people come in for cider? Because obviously it looks like beer is sexier at the numbers, and then liquor is second sexiest.
Well, about 20 years ago, I started a hard cider company in Washington. And back then, the industry was so new that I was constantly educating the consumer. And they thought cider sweet. You know, it just, and now, thank goodness, people are a little more educated. So that has been a lot easier to overcome here.
Good. That's great. So then Mountain West, you're here. How long ago was it when you showed up to Mountain West and started?
It'll be 6 years or 7 years, 6 years in January.
Oh, wow. There you go. And what was the first cider you guys produced?
Well, when I spent almost a year actually helping build this facility.
Okay.
You know, all the paperwork and the licensing, it never comes in when they say it's going to be ready. So, you know, I spent almost a year helping with the construction of the facility. And during that time, I was just doing some, I guess you would call them homebrew batches, just to see what we like. But the first one was Ruby, which is our flagship cider.
And great. I mean, I feel like it's everywhere. I feel like everyone knows it's everywhere. Yeah. You brought a few for us today.
Well, yes, I did.
What's one that we need to break open right now?
Well, why don't we start with Ruby, just because it's a little more neutral than some of the more specialty things that we'll be tasting.
And then we'll go from there. Do we need a bottle opener by chance?
No, I brought one.
It's like, Jesus, Joel, I'm not on my game right now. But while you're breaking that open, I want to ask some cider questions for you.
All right.
So going back to that kind of, I feel like you guys are almost David fighting Goliath when it comes to, breweries, distilleries, getting the ABC. You guys, do you feel underrated or underappreciated?
No, but I will say about the DABC and the state of Utah.
It's beyond a thorn in your side?
No. The tough uphill battle we have is we are priced like a craft beer.
Okay.
So you look at our product and in a bar, and it will be line priced with like a craft beer. The problem is we're taxed like a wine, which is much, much higher. So we're trying to compete with craft beers, but we're being taxed like a wine. So our profit margin is minuscule. And it's not like that in any other states.
Oh, why is it that difficult in Utah? Why Utah? Why is it so hard?
Well, Utah, the DABC just has their own way of doing things. Mm. They enjoy their tax revenue. And I'm sure if we explain that to the DABC board, they would go, yeah, you're right. That is unfair.
So why haven't you? Why haven't you guys, you three, gone up to them or made someone go up to them and kind of argue this debate?
I just think they probably have more important things to do than talk about taking in less revenue through taxes.
I mean, what else have to talk about? Not serving alcohol on Sundays. Like, what's going on? Let's go.
I think there has been lobbyists that have approached the subject, but I don't think it's going to happen this session.
No. I mean, but I feel like we got to figure out a way to get it going. I mean, that's just, to me, it's absurd. It really is.
Yeah.
Because you can pour, the quote unquote loophole in Utah is you can pour on tap any percentage of cider, as far as I know. But you can only do a 5 ounce pour, right? That's the catch.
And to me, a cider should go in a pint glass. You know, we have a cider called 7 Mile, which is only 5%. But it will never be able to go into a grocery store under the current laws because it's a wine.
It's seen as a wine.
Yeah.
Ah, that's dumb. That's so dumb, Joel.
We could make one that's 2%.
And it would still be seen as a wine.
It would still be a wine.
Could you make a non-alcohol, let's say a 0.05?
That's just called, you know, juice.
Apple juice?
Apple juice.
Gently spiked apple juice. So here's the Ruby. I mean, flagship for sure. And then, this one's just great. Just great. So transitioning to grape to apple, do you like apple more now?
Apples are fun because there's literally thousands of varieties of apples and, you know, kind of like grapes.
So what varieties are this one in the Ruby?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Secrets.
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
we actually have a blend of, anywhere from 4 to 6 different varieties of apples.
Gotcha.
And a lot of that depends on the season, but, you know, to control the pH and the acid, we have to do certain blends that have more acid and less pH.
Right. So is there any chance you're going to do like a single variety apple?
We actually have one. I should have brought one of those. Interesting story. It's called Elliott Gold.
And that's the Utah one, right?
Yeah.
In Utah.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, it was back in the early 80s where a farmer, you know, in Utah saw this variety and didn't know what it was. And he sent it somewhere and they got back to him. And then he ended up planting, you know, several trees, and now that's our single variety, and it's available nowhere else in the world.
That's awesome. I like that one. Because when you sent me home with some of those, and I'm like, good God, this is great.
Well, it just captures apple. I mean, it's just so.
Like grabbing it from a tree.
Is apple-y a word?
Apple-y?
Yeah, it sure is. It's apple-y.
Absolutely. It's apple-y, because it can probably pair with an apple, right? I'm telling you, I'd pair it with an apple. But it's one of those things, the way I can explain that one is, I went to my tree, an apple tree, like from my grandma's farm or whatnot, grabbed a bunch of apples, pressed them, made it ferment, and that's what it was. It was delicious. Great. Fantastic. Cider question for you. Does cider ever go bad?
You know, interesting. I have a case of cider from the first year we produced Ruby, which, you know, that was 5 years ago. And I decided I'm going to hang on to this. And I pulled one out a couple of months ago and, you know, let everybody taste it. Nobody could tell that it was 5 years old.
No way.
Yeah, it holds up really well. And a lot of that is because of the acid structure.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, a Riesling. You know, a lot of people think, oh, red wines age forever, you know. Well, they don't. But what ages really well is Riesling because it's got a higher acid.
Gotcha. Fascinating. That's super fascinating. Can you do the same things with cider that you can do with wine?
Well, you can, you know, stylistically, you can barrel age it. You can produce a sparkling, well, which obviously we do. You can produce a fortified. You can, you know, stylistically, there's a lot of range.
Yeah. So jumping from the wine making industry to cider making industry, it's almost like you didn't have to reinvent the wheel, just kind of learn how to ride a different bike, if you will.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. No, we're not reinventing the wheel, but we are designing new treads.
I gotcha. I like that. I like that a lot. Do you ever get tired of apples, Joel? Like, let's be real. You're drinking cider almost every day. You're playing in cider every day. Tell me you're not tired. Like, you just look at an apple. Like, let's say you go to a picnic and the missus brings a little apple and you're like, really?
You know what? If the missus made an apple pie, I'd be all over
it. That's different though, but an apple.
I rarely just reach for an apple.
For an apple, just grab it.
But when our grower comes in, you know, every harvest with a box of those Elliott Golds, I'll
munch on those.
Yeah, can't wait. But I don't reach for grapes anymore.
Why? Because
it just.
Is it because you're too picky? Is it because you're ruined for you?
Maybe I'm picky. You know, walking through a vineyard and doing samples, that's great. But just if you brought me grapes from the grocery store,
I'm not going to eat these. Gotcha. Because I feel like if I were to make – you and I have to go to picnic. The next time we go on another date, mm-hmm. I'm going to bring a picnic. I'm going to bring some cheeses.
Did you hear that? There's going to be a second date.
Some fancy breads. And I feel like don't bring apples or grapes.
Oh, you know what? Sliced apple with I'm sounding like a major sissy here, but a sliced apple with a slice of brie or something on it.
Fantastic.
I can do that all day.
So do you say, I feel like we should have stinky cheeses when we're drinking these.
Yeah.
Pairing with stinky cheese. Cause I feel like you can, on my cider episodes, I feel like everything can pair with cider. Cause you look at certain styles of beer. I can't pair everything with beer. I can't. Cider.
I agree.
It's like everything.
And you know, I see two food pairings with beer, and that is a burger and a lager or a pizza and an IPA. And that's my range. But wine, I love pairing different wines. You know, a hearty red with, you know, some Italian
some pasta, saucy heavy
thing.
Pasta.
What you cannot pair is seltzer. It goes with nothing.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
And I'm not bashing seltzer.
Right, but
seltzer belongs on a boat. When you're cruising around the lake.
Yeah, exactly. Outside in the middle of summer.
But you don't say to the sommelier, "Bring us a nice, you know, white claw with our
peach
steaks."
White claw, please. What? So you look at you like, "What? You want that TV static?" No, can't do it. So, favorite wine then, because you have a bunch of variety. What's your favorite variety of wine?
There is a Spanish variety called Tempranillo.
Okay.
It's grown widely in the Rioja region. And I was the first to produce it in Washington, which, you know, you get a vineyard to plant a new grape. It takes 4 or 5 years to get it mature. Yeah. So time-wise, I was pretty invested. And now it's extremely popular.
And so you're the first to bring that out.
Yeah, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure I am.
What can't you do, brother?
taxes.
Here we go. Loophole. Or rabbit hole, I mean. What new styles of ciders do you want to try here in Mountain West that you have not yet tried?
Well, it's kind of fun because now we're doing this small orchard series where monthly we release a small offering of, like, currently we have cucumber lemon.
Cool.
Last month it was strawberry shortcake.
Right.
We've done a pina colada. So those are fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun to experiment and try new things and release new things. But as far as, you know, I've always been curious about what we call carbonic maceration, which in red wine, you crush the grapes and you leave the skins with the juice as it ferments.
Okay.
And so during that 10-day fermentation, all the color of the skins is infused into the wine.
Fascinating.
And then you press off the skins and separate from the juice. I think that would be interesting to do with apples. And I think it would give the apple skin has a lot more tannin. And so I think it would give a really interesting, funky structure. So we just don't have the capability of doing that.
Gotcha. I was thinking the Elliott Gold, I think, doing it with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that no one else has ever done.
Uh-huh.
Just mess with
it. And if there was an apple with a red skin, you know, it'd probably bring a lot of that color into the cider.
That'd be beautiful. What beautiful rosé almost color.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I like that. Have you ever thought doing an ice cider or a dessert cider?
I've done it, and I would love to do it here. The higher alcohol is taxed differently, mm-hmm. but when I was in the wine business, fortified wines were something I was really good at. My winery was known for a port style, product. Cool. So I would love to do that with cider.
Fantastic. Are we ever going to see a champagne-y version of a cider here?
I think, it's labor intensive mm-hmm. and the inventory cost is pretty high. I would love to do it, but we would have to get a pretty penny for it.
Are you guys getting popular enough that you're becoming too big for the place you're in right now? You guys growing too fast? You guys not growing fast enough? Are you guys?
You can never have enough space. Mm-hmm. When we started, we had 4 tanks, mm-hmm. and now we're 8, whatever.
Are we looking at expanding here? Are we looking at expanding to another location? No, I think multiple locations.
We don't necessarily need more space. We just need to keep those tanks full and keep mm-hmm. them rotating.
So maybe more help? Will that help, in essence?
Down the road, yeah? Sure.
That's awesome. And, fascinating.
I look at, some of the breweries, they run, 24 hours.
Yeah, some of them do. And mm-hmm. I'm like, dear God, no thank you.
Yeah.
What do you love about cider making, Joel? What's something that you, right now, today, you just love about cider making that hasn't gone away yet?
Well, there's different, just a few steps. Putting juice to tank and inoculating with yeast. So there's one. That's boring. You watch a pump. Then there's after it's done fermenting, you can start to kind of get the characteristics of that particular batch. And it goes into a fining process that takes 7 to 10 days where all the protein solids settle the bottom of the tank. And again, after that, you taste it and you can see the clarity. But the filtering is one of my favorite parts because that's when you really start to, and we're pretty consistent. Like Ruby, we make several batches a month and there's not much difference from batch to batch to batch. It's very consistent. Again, going back to the Little Orchard series that we do, those are brand new. And you just don't know how it's going to taste.
So what's the next one we're going to open up there, Joel?
Let's do some peach turmeric.
Peach turmeric. This one is the Alice, correct?
Yeah.
Sweet Alice?
Sweet Alice.
So Sweet Alice. So what made you do peach and turmeric?
So had some friends visiting from out of town and trying to how should we kill time? And it was suggested, let's go come up with a cider flavor profile. And I let them pick.
And that's what they picked?
And they said, and they're from Portland. Turmeric's, kind of trendy right now.
Yeah.
And they chose, what about a peach and turmeric? And so we did a little test batch and turned out great and let the staff taste it and everybody was sold.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, pretty popular.
To me, off the nose, it just smells like a sweet pie, like a sweet, almost like a hint of spicy apple pie.
Yeah, turmeric's a lot like ginger. Is anybody infusing beer with turmeric?
You do like a firkin, but I don't know about like beer. Now, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone. I like this.
Yeah. But, there's one time where, and again, these small batches, whenever we get a new employee, I always invite them to come up with your own thing. And
absolutely.
A little five-gallon batch.
And see what happens. Because you might not have thought something that someone else can, right? But I like, do you use peach puree or peach juice? Or
peach fresh juice. Peach juice? Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I like that. I want to pair this. I want this on Pie and Beer Day. I want this with pies. I don't know why, but that's what I'm going to.
You might get it.
I might. It's fantastic.
And it's really, when we do these particular ciders where we infuse these ingredients, it's all about balance.
Yeah.
And I never want anything to overpower apple.
Oh, you want apple to be the main star.
Yeah.
I like
apple to be complemented, but there always needs to be balance.
I didn't think of it that way. I always thought of, because when I'm making beer, usually you want like a, you usually want a balance. And one of my favorite breweries, not to pick favorites, I'm just saying one of my favorite breweries is Grid City. Yeah. And their motto is taste, balance, finish.
Sure.
And I agree with that. I think that should be beer, cider, distilling. That should be across the board. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I'm tasting this, I like apple's still there, but that turmeric little just pops. And then you get a little love tap of the peach. I like that. I have a lot of friends that would love this cider specifically.
Yeah. And you know, some of the ethnic cuisines that are the turmeric is used.
Yeah.
I think this cider would go with all of those.
Had some Indian food the other night. Oh, boom.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Fantastic. All right, Joel, another question for you. Do you travel for cider? Do you ever go out of, I feel like since I've known you, you haven't left this place. You haven't gone for a vacation. You're always here. You're always fucking here 24/7. That's how I feel. So have you ever gone to travel and you specifically go to cideries, or do you go try to get cideries, or you see like,
you know, going back to my years in the wine business, if I went on holiday and I visited a winery, I would get so much anxiety because I'd see something that a winery is doing. It's like, oh, look how shiny that tank is. I need to get home and make my tank that shiny.
Okay.
I have this weird anxiety when I see other facilities. I want to rush home and improve what I'm doing.
Gotcha. I got to be not half-assing in your wine. Yeah. You got to continue to improve and be top-notch again.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be a disorder or a disease, but just visiting other facilities just makes me want to be here and improve everything we're doing.
So when's the last time you went out of your way to go to a cidery?
It's been years. I did go to, I lectured at CiderCon in Chicago a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And I was around a lot of cider makers.
Is that different? Instead of seeing the facility, picking the brains of people like-minded individuals?
No, cider makers, winemakers, they're weird people. All they want to do is talk trade. And it's like, hey, how about the Mariners last night? And they can't talk sports. They can't talk pop culture.
Oh, okay.
They just want to talk about.
So they can't just talk about everything. They only can talk about cider. Yeah.
I think brewers are a little bit different. Brewers are kind of normal.
They
don't geek out.
For me, I mean, we geek out, but I feel like from my standpoint, and please correct me if I'm wrong for everyone who's listening on brewer-wise, but for us, I like calling it a brotherhood, kind of like a party, like a bros party. We go there, we talk about whatever
we want. I think that's dissing our fine women brewers in this state.
Right, exactly. So it's like a family. But you know what I'm getting at? I mean, yeah. Sisterhood, brotherhood, I can get any brewer. Doesn't matter what gender, and we'll get together and we can talk about how your life is, what dogs, what camping. We'll talk about, hey, I liked your new beer. Great. Thank you. What do you like about it? Uh-huh. Beer. And then we can go off on like different topics.
Yeah.
And then come back. Like it's always come back to the beer, but then we always go back on.
Well, in the Utah brewing community is extremely unique because everybody seems to get along.
Yeah.
I've never heard a brewer bash another brewer in Utah.
So our friend Kevin, Kevin Templin said it the best. And you were there when you said it. You cannot be an asshole in this environment and succeed. You can't. If you do, you will not survive here.
Yeah.
Because like
it's a small town.
And it is, and it's a family. And from Ogden, Salt Lake, Utah, Cedar City, all the way down to St. George. I mean, the whole Utah environment, if you're shitting on someone else, it just you can't do it. You really can't do it. So then you're talking about the little orchard series. Right?
Yes.
So we have the cucumber lemon.
That's what I'm pouring you right now.
So
that's our current one.
Who thought of this one?
You know what? We sit down at our staff meetings, and we look at the time of year, the season, and what would be good. It might have been Jennifer who just said, what about cucumber, you know, lemon?
And fascinating.
I'm not a huge cucumber guy, but if I were, I would love this.
Really?
I mean, it's just the balance. It's thirst quenching. It's really crisp.
It's a super, it's like a white wine. It's really.
Yeah, it does look like a white wine.
It's wine is clear. Oh my goodness. This is really weird to me. Because the last one to have like more of that apple color, more reddish.
Wouldn't you agree? Cucumber is one of those things you either love or hate.
Oh, yeah. I think so too. Like certain fruits and vegetables, you love them or hate them, especially specifically vegetables.
Cilantro.
Like, I feel like you're on, it's either you hate them or you love them.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. So you hate cucumber, huh?
Hate.
Dislike.
I pick it out of my salad and I set it aside.
This smells like a garden on the nose, Joel. Yeah. Ah, I don't know. I don't know if I want a cucumber apple. I don't know. It smells like the garden. Here we go.
But again, what does Grid City say?
Taste, balance, finish.
So this also has a lemon finish. And that's where you want.
Oh, I like that finish.
Like the lemon is like the janitor that comes in after the party and cleans just everything kind of cleans up.
But you need that in order to survive.
Yeah.
Okay, that is for me and my palate, it's a ride because I get kind of that garden freshness at the beginning, then I get apple, then I keep saying this love tap of lemon, but then cucumber comes back and it's fresh. You know, like you know how you go to spas or like fancy resorts and they have the cucumber.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Water or whatever. Boom.
Yeah.
This substitute that water for this cider, you got it.
A light salad.
You know, with for this, sure.
With a glass of this.
Or it's one of those.
Which I never do.
Or it's like, hey, I'm going to take a quick break because I've been working about 6 hours. I just want to, just give me 5 ounces. Just a little refresher.
Yeah.
Boom. This is it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, Joel.
This has gone over really well.
I can see. Especially with the triple digit heat that's happening in Utah right now. Oh yeah. I bet. Yeah, this is really refreshing. And it feels almost like those health nerds. This feels kind of almost like, pinkies up kind of thing, right? Well, Joel, typically on this one, we like to take a break, an intermission halfway through. So we've been there halfway through. I don't know about you, but I need to hit the restroom. So we're going to hit a quick intermission. Does that sound right?
We don't have a bidet here, though.
Well, then I guess we're not going to do anything. I'm driving home. So we're going to take about a 3-hour intermission and come back. All right, Joel, we'll be right back, brother. Taste Masters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you'll receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, Joel, we are back. I don't know about you, but I feel refreshed. Good. I mean, I had to use the restroom and there's no bidet. I think if I were to come back to Mountain West, my recommendation would be get bidets.
Oh, I'll run that by you, the purchasing.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just drank the Cucumber Lemon, the Little Orchard series. Now, you and I had a little secret going on the past month and a half or so.
Yeah.
And I remember getting with you. Actually, I want to hear your version of meeting me. When I came to you 2 months. Was it 2 months ago?
I think it was through our mutual good friend, Chad Hopkins.
Chad Hopkins and the girls from Hans Kombucha, I believe.
Yes. So how'd that run? We spoke and I said, why don't you come in and we'll do an experimental, one of our small batch ciders. And I was like, think of some flavor profiles. And there were several that I've already done.
Yeah.
And I said, nope, done it. And then you came up with one that I went, ooh, that sounds interesting. So you came in and I kind of walked you through it and you did all the ingredient measuring and you determined all the ratios. And I gave you the yeast and, you know, we fined it and did all that, bottle conditioned it.
We came back and racked it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we bottled it and bottle conditioned it. So we made a pinky swear
that we
wouldn't try it until we recorded this episode.
And so I think it was Jen that came in and said, "So David, if it's good, Joel made it. If it's bad, you made it." And we both laughed at it. But so, because I think I gave you almost 20 ideas of like what I wanted to do. I can't remember. But so this one is a mango pepper.
Mango, yeah, cider. Mango pepper.
So I used Anaheim and Fresno peppers.
Which I wouldn't have thought of.
Or Serrano, excuse me, okay. Serrano peppers. I used the capsins or the seeds of the Serrano and the meat of the Anaheim pepper. Because the Anaheim's like, we're talking bell pepper kind of thing. Like just barely above bell
it's filler.
Pepper. Exactly. And then the Serrano is right underneath the jalapeno. So I used very little because I think when I brewed it, we did a firkin and we did a raspberry habanero. And I'm like, habanero is very spicy. Mm-hmm. Raspberry kind of had that tart berryness. I'm like, let's do something.
See, I've made ciders with both Serrano and habanero, mm-hmm. But I would have liked them a little hotter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, I mean, you gave me free range on this one, and you're like, we had just met, and you're like, hey, let's make a cider. What? You're going to trust me? It's long-haired fuck. You're going to trust me to make a cider? Here it is, dude. I think we should try it.
All right. We're ready.
Man, what's your before we open it, what's your opinion? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. And we agreed that if we don't like it, we're going to be honest with your listeners.
100%. 100%. Oh, my God. Mango chili cider. Whew, man. Oh, yeah. Duh. This is going to be intense. I don't even know if it's going to be.
That silence was so we could
take a
selfie.
Photo.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take pictures of Joel opening this cider. Man, here it goes.
All right. Man. Are you nervous?
I am nervous.
Look at the clarity.
It's actually not bad.
Oh, it's got some bubbles. All right. Well, I'm extremely impressed with the clarity.
All right. Cheers, brother.
All right.
I'm going to smell this one. Oh, my God. The heat.
So I get the peppery heat.
I still get the apple, though, which is great.
Do you get the mango?
No.
I don't think
on
I
the
do
nose.
Either.
I don't. I'm disappointed in that. Let's see.
There's balance there.
Hmm. Oh, the mango's at the end. Mango's there. Ooh.
I don't hate it.
Not bad.
No, I like it. I enjoy it.
I'm fairly tickled. My God. So I feel like, well, hold up.
Hey, for your first up at bat,
Not bad. That's a double.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a double.
But
what would you do different to get a homer?
I would keep the spice. So for me,
you're happy with the heat level?
I'm happy with it because I would bump up the mango.
I would bump up mango too.
Bump up the mango. And so if I bump up the mango, I think that balance in the spice heat realm and fruity mango-ness, because right now I think it's just missing the fruitiness. And I think if I bumped the mango, because I still think apple's still big dick swinging in this one. I really do.
I get the apple in the middle.
And that's what you said you want the apple to be the prize right there. And I still get apple. I'm very impressed, actually. I'm surprisingly impressed. Is this enough heat for you, though, Joel?
Yes. Any more heat? It's just enough heat to make you want to take another sip.
Because for me, the heat kind of, like it's like a locomotive. It's like, and then stop. The train stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you get the more, that's where the mango comes in, but.
It's just enough heat to scare you.
But it
you think it's going to get bad, and then
great
all of a sudden.
Too. I think I nailed the heat on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the mango, bump it up.
More mango?
Yeah, I put a shit ton of mango.
I can't get over the clarity.
Right? It kind of has a greenish hue to it.
Yep.
Is this me or is it the lighting?
No, I see a little of the green.
We should go give this to some of your staff, tell you what. See what happens, see what they think.
Maybe you should enter it into a amateur contest.
I could be an amateur cider maker? Mm. Can I wear both hats? Can I be a brewer and a cider maker?
Is that absolutely possible?
Fantastic. I like that. Wow. Joel.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Thanks for helping me. Thanks for making my first cider. I couldn't believe it.
Will you make another one?
Yes. Yeah. I say we should do it again. I think we should do another test batch. I think we should do one a quarter, like different seasons. Because my inspiration for this one, I feel like it's like the most like, inspiration. That's not what I meant. But is I wanted something that had kind of a kick, but was crushable in the summer heat. And I knew we would be trying this like, in the summer.
Sounds like an old girlfriend.
Right? But I get the aftertaste. I don't know about you, but I get the Anaheim, the meat of the Anaheim I left in it.
There's some linger there.
And so, but it's not off-putting. It's not like spicy. It's that garden fresh that you had in the cucumber lemon. But instead of cucumber, it's that pepper meat, right? It's that I crunched into a pepper without the heat of it.
Yeah. Boom. And the mango is there, but is it there because I know it's there? Or if I tasted it blind, not knowing mango was in it, would I have pulled out mango?
I think the mango is bump up the mango. I almost double the mango now.
I don't even know the sugar content in mango. Do you?
I have no idea. No, on top of my head, no. But unfortunately, the mango, but the apple, thank God the apple sweetness is like helping balance the spiciness of that.
So what would you drink this with?
You may laugh at me for this one, but
I don't laugh.
A small salad.
A small salad? Are you kidding
me? As you're
me?
Laughing, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. I would do a small salad with chicken, not shrimp. Chicken. Like I'm thinking Caesar minus, I don't like Caesar dressing, but the Caesar, like a Caesar salad with the croutons and some shrimp shrimp. A chicken. I don't even know anymore. I feel like, I don't know. Now you got me going. I don't want to do Mexican food. I don't want Indian food. I don't want Italian food. I don't want, I don't know, a salad. Something crisp, something fresh. I would even take, hear me out, a Caprese panini. All the right. Heirloom tomato, a little bit of that mozzarella on top. And
I can see it. I can see it.
What would you pair this with?
I don't know. I need a little protein. So chicken, maybe?
Maybe chicken.
Barbecue chicken?
Ooh, like Texas barbecue or Korean barbecue?
Maybe a pulled pork with a little spice to it.
To complement it?
Yeah.
I feel like I need some type of carb in there too, though. I need like a bread, like I said, crouton or a sandwich, like pulled pork sandwich.
Pulled pork sandwich.
There we go. I think we got it.
Let's order out.
Joel, I'm impressed, actually. Okay. So let's upscale this. Let's call it something.
Maybe a listener will, come up with a name for it.
Maybe, hopefully. God damn.
But next time we do it, maybe we should bring, so you're a brewer, I'm a cider maker. Maybe we should bring in a distiller and we do a three-way collaboration.
Oh my God.
We could fortify it.
We'll make it happen. So Joe, I have some questions for you because of this one real quick.
I'm going to pour a little bit more of this.
Hey, go for it, brother. Here's something about let's go back to Mountain West cidery, okay? What qualities do you have that set you above any other cider makers in the region?
Well, that's easy because I'm pretty much the only one in the region.
Right, but what qualities do you aspirate to in Utah that you want to be known? Like, let's say you were retired, you were leave Mountain West forever, leave cider making. But what's that stain on cider making that you want to be known for? Like, hey, Joel, not just was a winemaker, but in the cidery world, what quality do you want to be known for?
I would like, I can leave my own stain. I guess if to answer that, all across the board, all the ciders were, very good. And that's something I pride myself in the wine business. It's like, maybe I didn't make the best Cabernet or the best Syrah or the best Tempranillo or the best Pinot Noir, but over the board, they're all very solid.
Okay.
And so there was never a bad one. I guess I could say the same thing here.
You want to make a cider across the board where they were great, not good.
Well, I want to make them great. Obviously, right. I always strive to make the
but
best.
But you're not going
to
make a bad one. You would never would you release
no.
a bad one?
No.
Even if marketing or there, management would push you to
there
make
have been, a there have been times for whatever reasons, maybe a chiller goes out or just a weird batch of apples where I said, Jeff, I'm not proud of this. And he would try it. And if he said, oh, it's fine, you know, I would go, all right. But he gives me carte blanche. Like, if you're not proud of it, then we're not proud of it.
There you go.
So that's a stain I want to leave. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, like Mountain West, you know, there's like three things where one, they're committed to producing a quality product
okay.
where I have that kind of support. Two, they're like over the top committed to community and supporting, you know,
yeah,
the community.
They have been, yeah.
It just
I like that
with their passion for supporting LGBTQ and pet adoption and small business is I love that commitment. And, you know, third, they're good to their employees.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So working for Mountain West would be great.
Yeah.
In essence. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm extremely proud to, you know, represent Mountain West.
That's awesome. So being here long enough, do you consider yourself a Utah now? Are those your mountains?
I have. Well, one of the things I was getting kind of a little bit irritated by being in the Columbia River Gorge is it was everybody's moving there from another place. And it seems like everybody who moved there wanted to make the Columbia River Gorge just like the place they moved from.
Mm.
So I don't want to be that guy.
Okay,
but,
I see that.
But I do have Utah license plates and driver's license.
Ah, you're converting.
Yeah.
Not converted, but you're converting.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Give it another 4 years. I got you.
I'm still getting used to several things, like, you know, this every day in the hundreds.
Right. I mean, that's a far-fetched. Or maybe is it normal? I don't know from now on. I have no idea. But a couple of years has been kind of hot.
Yeah.
As long as you got a good AC unit, it's okay.
I do.
Come in the Prius. We got a good AC in the Prius and ceramic tinting, so it's okay.
Nice.
All right, Joel. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start making cider? From no experience to some experience, what advice would you give?
Go out and get some apple juice and experiment. You know, I'll tell you this. If you want to make Ruby or our 7 Mile or our Desolation, you're not going to make it better than us at home. It just buy ours. But if you want to do a mango chili or, you know, come up with your own flavor profiles, yeah. What's your favorite spice and what's your favorite fruit? Do those things and have fun with that and experiment and don't be afraid to, you know, try something that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. And so with going off that, are you going to do more? Is there futures? Like, are you okay with randos coming in or customers coming in and doing collaborations with you and giving you an idea and being like, hey, I want to do this Oreo and cream cider. Is that something that you'd be down for? Or is
go away. I will happily taste theirs.
Right. But will you give anyone free range to come in and make that kind of cider?
Do it at home and bring me a sample. See,
yeah, right. Gotcha.
But the other thing is this something that's marketable? Like, would you just say cookies and cream or Oreo or whatever?
I mean, that came out of the top of my ass.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But and that sounds interesting, but, well, is that something we can market? Is that something that somebody will go, ooh, that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. But mango pepper, I think there's people, it either sounds great or it doesn't. Going back to cilantro.
I get to name it. That's okay. It. That's all I'm going to say.
Do you got a name yet?
Not yet. I got to think of it. I'm not going to think. I can't name it right now. It's got to be a red carpeted unveil. I'm not going to say it here. No, but going off that, more test batches. The sky's the limit when it comes to test batches. Oh, is there any – I know in beer making, there's some things that I will never put into a beer because an off flavor and it will be disgusting. Is there something in a cider that you're like, Come on now. I won't put that in a cider ever.
We have an ongoing joke in the fall about I am not doing a pumpkin.
You fucking are going to do a pumpkin. Watch. No. I'm calling it. Yes, you are. You're in a cave. Pumpkin spice lager or pumpkin spice cider. Here we come.
Well, you know what? What I wouldn't have a problem with is I forget where I've seen it or who did it, but you carve out a pumpkin and then you screw a tap into it and then fill it with beer.
Yeah.
But hey, you can do that all day long with our cider.
Let's do it with cider. Let's just do it in the garden. You have a garden, put a couple pumpkins out there, put some of the ruby in there and see what happens.
Maybe for Oktoberfest, maybe we'll do it for one day.
On Halloween day of, just put some jack-o'-lanterns on there, just put a tap in there.
All right.
Put a little bit of ruby in there and see what happens.
All right. Did you hear that, Sarah, our marketing person?
I'll text Sarah. Tell her to get that going. Do you do
pumpkin beer?
Yeah, we have to. I mean, not have to, but it's well demanded.
You're a sellout.
Yes and no. Because I think pumpkin done right in a stout, a chocolate stout or a roasty-ish stout is actually really good.
Do you spice also?
Sometimes. Right. The last time we didn't put any spice in it, but
can you sit down and have several, or is it one and you're good?
It depends from the ones I brew or it
would be ever. Either or.
Yes, I could because I think my two favorite kind of beers, anything lager, I think Pilsner is my favorite type of beer ever, and then stouts. I could drink stouts. I love stouts. Stouts is my nightcap. Mm-hmm. Stouts are my you know, go home and just like calm down. Stouts are my, I'm in a pool and I just want to like just calm the fuck.
What is your preferred ABV in stout?
6.2.
6.2.
Yeah. Because I want it to give me just a touch of a bite, but not to fuck me up where I can go for that second one without stumbling over my words, right? But the pumpkin, I don't like a bunch of spice in it, but I do like that complementing pumpkin with the barley and the roastiness of a stout. I really do. But sell out, I wouldn't say yay, nay. But if it's done well, taste, balance, finish, like Grid City says, then why not, right? Why not? What's something? What's a style? Or what's a not style? But what's a flavor combo in a cider you haven't done that you want to try?
It's funny. About 3 years ago, my mother came down.
Oh, beautiful!
Yeah, and from Seattle, and you know she'd been there a couple of days. I think she was leaving the next day. And I remember standing in line at Harmon's, and it's like not knowing what we're going to do the rest of the day. And I look at her, and I go, hey, do you want to go back to the cidery and just do some flavor profile development? She goes, yeah. And so we come back and I had just, a dozen different, you know, flavors.
Okay.
They come in little vials that you just sample. So I got some ruby and we just started putting together some different profiles. And I forget, we did strawberry, raspberry. We probably did a dozen with different levels of concentration and flavors, and I, you know, bottle condition them, and 2 weeks later, tried them. Some of them are awesome. Some of them we'll scratch that off,
right?
But my mom wants to do a cosmopolitan.
Okay, doable.
Yeah, easily doable, and actually, I think that could be kind of appealing.
Not bad at all. It'd be sex appeal almost.
Yeah,
in a way.
Mm-hmm. But you know, my mom's the kind of person that she'd never blended wine, never done, but an hour in, all of a sudden she's the expert and like telling me
how to do your job.
Like you need more of that.
And
so it would be fun. Next time she comes down, I'd love for her and I to do the cosmopolitan. So
beautiful. I love that, Joel. Make that happen sooner than later.
I know.
For real.
We were hoping to do it, this past Mother's Day, but we had what was that thing where everybody wears a mask? And
Pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
The world ended.
Yeah.
No, but I think you should do that sooner or later. My buddy gave me some good advice a couple weekends ago. He says, I've been doing lately, I pretend my life ends in 5 years. And in 5 years, I need to make sure I do the shit I need to do. Because I will die in 5 years from today. And I thought about that. And my wife and I have been like, shit. Like, so we've been planning a lot of things, we've been stepping it up a little bit. So I give you that little challenge, like, hey, in 5 years.
So in 5 years, your savings is going to be just drained?
Who knows? Who knows? Or given to whoever's going to inherit that.
Yeah.
Whoever,
is that your retirement
whoever,
plan?
Whoever wants to take my Prius, they can have it. Whoever wants to take my bidet, they can have it, kind of thing.
Not the bidet.
But I'm dead. I can't use it. Unless you want to bury me with it. All right, Joel. So we have one more cider. Mm-hmm. So while we pour this cider, we're going to give a shout out to who the cider is made for and of. And then I want to ask some beer questions, right?
Because beer questions.
We haven't had any beer or distilling questions. So what's the next cider we're going to open real quick?
This is Gulb, which is Green Urban Lunchbox. And Green Urban Lunchbox is a Salt Lake City nonprofit. And their mission is to harvest unused fruit and vegetables from local gardens. Beautiful. So if you probably have that neighbor that grows way too much zucchini and,
yes,
and then gives it to the neighbors.
My grandmother's that person, for sure.
Everybody's grandmother's that
100%.
Person. But so this organization, if you have excess fruit or vegetables, you can take it to them and they will distribute it to people who can use it.
Beautiful.
Which it is great. So they get an abundance of apples. And I don't know who came up with the idea, but why don't we see if we can make a hard cider? And so all these apples were brought to us. We make a hard cider and all the proceeds go back to Green Urban Lunchbox so they
That's
can
awesome.
Continue this beautiful program.
Is this a yearly thing? Is it a quarterly thing?
We've done I think we're in year four now.
Oh, great. But, That's awesome.
So here's a cool thing about it is – So these apples are sourced from over 100 different...
Who knows?
Yeah. And I don't know. I think last count, we had like 25 different varieties. So they all come in at once. We juice them all together. And I don't inoculate yeast. It's wild fermentation. So
really?
So the yeast could be from any of these sources.
Dear Lord.
No idea. We never isolate it or have it tested. Just every year, we let it go.
That's funky on the nose.
And so every year's vintage can never be duplicated.
No way. That's really cool, actually. That's very cool.
And it's a crapshoot. Some years, it comes out just fantastic. We've been lucky. We haven't,
had a bad year.
I think
year.
The first one we did, it was fantastic. But then after 6 months, it just nosedived. But it was all sold by then, so it didn't matter. But the last few vintages has had some staying power, but a lot of apple.
Yeah. But I recognize that nose, but I can't pinpoint it.
To me, it smells like going into an apple shed.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I know what it is. That is funky.
Yeah.
That's the funkiest thing I've ever tasted.
You call it funky?
I like the funky because I'm tasting wild flavors. Wild flavors.
Sure. Like, I get that.
Like there could be a fucking tennis shoe in here. I don't know. Like it's just wild. It's just, it's not off-putting. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's just
like
it's funky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stanky, if you will. What? Interesting.
Again, this is bottle fermented or excuse me, bottle conditioned.
Huh. I'm trying to figure out, what would I pair this with? Like, when would I drink this? I'm like,
I think sitting on the patio in 85 degree weather,
85.
watching your neighbor mow his lawn.
lawn mowing cider. Yeah, I like that. I'm fascinated. So,
it's a good picnic cider.
I like picnic cider. Mm-hmm. I like that, Joel. Hey, here we go. This leads into my question I want to ask you in beer. You and I have kind of joked behind the scenes about pitching bugs into like souring beers.
Yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
And I know you don't like that. You hate that.
Well, I come from a winemaking background, where we're trained to avoid Britannomyces
like
at all
costs. Plague, if you will.
It is. You get that into a winery facility, and it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, watching you guys. Just pour a culture of Britannomyces into a barrel. It
rings you a little bit.
I just scratch my head and go. And so I don't like those flavors in my beer.
But This is the closest thing I've tried from your ciders here at Mountain West that is funky. That is almost bugged out cider. When it's not bad at all. I would like to see one of these kind of like barreled aged. I like to see a little bit of,
I would be interested in that
with
as
some
well.
Oak spirals or some cedar spirals. See what happens. I mean, this would be really cool to barreled age one of these.
But so these the juice that comes in from Gulb is different from year to year.
Right.
And to barrel age something, you need an extremely low pH. Otherwise, it's not going to last in a barrel.
I can see that. Okay.
So you do barrel-aged beers, right?
Yeah.
What's the pH?
Depends on the style of beer, but typically I like it to be 4 or 3.
All right. That's fairly stable. I'm more of a 3.65 kind of guy.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Unless I pitched bugs in it.
No.
Brettomyces, how you doing? Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. So going on the beer questions, favorite local beer here in Utah that you'll go out of your way and drink? If that's too hard of a question, favorite brewery right now?
I'd
like to go just.
Boy. It depends on the style.
There
you know,
go.
I think everybody is doing a pretty solid job. I can't think of a brewery that I just, not going there.
Right.
Boy. Templin's, he's got a pail that I really like. I'm kind of an IPA guy. I can't pick one.
That's fine. So you're telling me Utah beer is good.
I think Utah's doing it. You know, the first time I came here and I would order a IPA on draft, and that was back when the alcohol
3-2.
Was 3-2,
mm-hmm.
And I couldn't put my finger on it because I was drinking, you know, I drink 3, and I was like, I felt full, but not, you know, I didn't feel anything in the head.
Yeah.
It was just weird. I thought it was strange. And now maybe I'm used to it, or maybe because the ABV has been raised, but I love what Red Rock's doing. I love, I think it's cool that Toasted Barrel is trying different things.
Yeah.
Just like Chad Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be, not trying to be like everybody else. He's doing his own thing. I dig that. You go back to Squatters has paved the way for everybody and they're still doing a great job.
Yeah.
And Fisher's killing it.
Oh yeah. Fisher's the spot, I think. And when it comes to like, if you want to meet a brewer, I say this multiple times on the podcast. If you want to be a brewer and you want to meet a brewer, Fisher.
Uh-huh.
The boys are doing it over there. Colby and them, they're fantastic.
Yeah. It's a fun hangout.
What about distilleries? Is there a distillery that pops in your mind that you've gone to that you, because I know you like to have, you know, some drinks here and there. Are you a local distillery kind of guy?
Yeah, I just, you know, I like my vodka cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I usually don't buy high end. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing just vodka rocks, there's a few. I think Holy Stone is pretty cool, and we're doing a collaboration with them where we're taking them, you know, gallons and gallons and gallons of cider, and they're throwing it into a aging program.
Yeah,
so I can't wait to try that.
Calvados.
I'm sorry.
Is it Calvados? What's you guys putting cider?
Yeah.
Calvados, right?
Yeah.
Barrel aged Calvados.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And you know Ethan, right?
Oh, I love Ethan and Mike and Barbie. What they're doing over there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
So that's kind of cool. We've worked with Dented Brick. They have a barrel of our cider, which was distilled into brandy, and I can't wait to try that.
Cool.
We're going on 3 or 4 years, I think, that they've been aging it. So that should be fun. I don't make it out to distillers, and I'm kind of a whiskey guy, and so I need to get out. Maybe you should take me on tour.
I will. It's right. Third date.
All right.
Second date's at the picnic. Third date, we'll go to distilleries.
So I get a rose.
I got to okay with the wife real quick, but I'll pick you up in the Prius. That's a chariot of fire. What would you like to see happen with the cider industry in Utah?
normalize it, like make us just like the breweries, tax us like a brewery.
How do we accomplish that?
It's probably going to take a lot of money and lobbying, I'm guessing. And it's not going to happen this year. But, you know, it's – we source local fruit whenever we can. And, you know, like beers – I'm not raking on beer because God knows I love it. But Utah beer, you know, a lot of your ingredients come from out of state. Use a ton of water. I don't know if that's an issue. Hopefully it won't be like – all of a sudden there's a mandate where breweries can't brew anymore because there's no water. But
it could be. Maybe. Know. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, just I hope cider is normalized and we're not taxed so much because we're not doing anything to the environment. We're not, you know, taking a toll on this or that.
Right.
We're just like a craft beer.
So what's a misconception on cider that you want to nip in the butt right now?
I would say the number one still, you know, after it has been popularized in the last 20 years, I would say that there's still a lot of people that think it's sweet. Just
is apple sweet, apple juice is sweet.
Yeah,
I get you.
And they don't realize that it can be dry and complex and goes great with food.
Yeah. It goes great with food.
Yeah.
And it's gluten-free.
It's gluten-free.
Hopefully yours is non-GMO, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, all those like weird.
Fewer carbs.
For sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I always told my wife that if I, for some reason, couldn't drink beer, but I could still have alcohol, cider would be my cider and wine. Because I feel like wine for me, wine's kind of like one of those, I could get trashed real quick. And it'd be like the happy, like drunk kind of thing. But cider is my crushable. Like I told you, I can crush a cider with any meal. At any situation, and it's fine. And I haven't given – I don't think – like beer, in my opinion, I think there's not a – if someone comes up to me and says, hey, I don't like beer, bullshit, I haven't found a beer for you.
Yeah, that's
– I don't like cider, bullshit, I can find a cider for you. Mm-hmm. Really, because a couple weekends ago, we were in Denver, my wife and I, and we went to some cideries, some good cideries, some bad cideries, and we went to one that I was very fascinated with, and they did a great job. And I'm like, you know what? It's you need to, and they're just brand new. They're just trying to gain their ground. And I'm like, hey, push it. Like, step on the pedal and go because this shit's good and people will appreciate it. And you need that appreciation so you can continue to grow, right?
Well, what separates the ones you liked from the ones you didn't care for?
Quality.
The product.
Quality, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really do because the ones I didn't like, I've seen in stores, I've seen around here, I've seen here, you know, at DABC. But I went there, I'm like, getting it at the tap room, I should have better quality product, I think, in my mind.
Oh, it should be fresh.
Like any brewery. If I want to experience the beer of a brewery, I should go to the brewery itself. Or a liquor from the distillery, I should go to the distillery. Like I should try the products on site. And I had it on site and I was not impressed. Now I'm not gonna name names, but I'm like, damn. You know, and then I went to some cideries that on site, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here clapping. Yeah. I'm like, this is great. This is fantastic. And so, Joel, my recommendation to you is don't give up the passion. Please don't give up the passion. Continue to grind hard. You are a hardworking motherfucker. Like, I always see you with your glasses on your head, back and forth, trying to figure out how to fucking do some stuff, how to grind, continue to grind and continue to grow. Don't stop growing. Keep the passion. And just know that I'm a fan of yours and that you're making quality and good product. And thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, when the passion leaves, then...
You leave.
Then I become a brewer.
You try another... You put another shoe on, huh? Another hat on. I like that. No, but Joel, is there anything that us as taste masters can do to help you as a cider maker, Joel the Cider Maker, or as you as Mountain West?
Oh, you know what? Come visit us. And we invite feedback. I would love to hear somebody taste our Small Orchard series and say, you know what, how about doing this or more cucumber? Or could you make your mango pepper a little hotter? I like feedback, but come down and visit us. We have an awesome outdoor garden, live music, It's, I think it's the coolest place in Salt Lake to consume outdoors.
Oh yeah. You guys have a great patio.
Yeah. But come visit us and tell us what you think.
Fantastic. Joel, I just want you to know that I appreciate you. I'm excited for our second and third date. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where our relationship goes as friends. And if there's anything I can do or anything I can do as tastemasters, please let us know. Please let me know.
Well, let's put together that three-way with a distiller. We're going to do a collaboration.
So for those who don't know, I have this idea of doing a brewmaster, a cider maker, and a head distiller. And I'm going to get them together at one table, and I'm going to pick brains. And I'm going to try to get you as a cider maker to kind of talk to the head distiller and the brewmaster and be like, hey, like, try to convince them into the cider world. I want a distiller to convince you guys into the distillery world. I want a brewer to convince you guys into the brewery world. Because I think, yes, you have, you know, the craft beer, the craft distillation, the liquor, and then you have the craft cider. I think if you guys can somehow come as one, like we had earlier, that brotherhood. I'm not to segregate sex or anything, but that brotherhood, like that family, if we can make – it's not just a beer family or a liquor family or a cider family. We're a community. So if we can somehow get together, maybe there's some things that I can teach you as a cider maker or you can teach me as a brewer. I have no idea, dude. And that'd be – that's my one of my episode ideas.
Well, that's why we experiment. So throw that back and let's go back and visit your mango pepper one last time.
Mango pepper. Okay. I'm going to toast back. I like this one.
Mango. I can't wait for the unveiling of what you're going to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Still got the pepper nose.
And you still got heat on the nose. Like it, I think some of my nose hair is fringed away a little bit.
So you have about a case of 750 bottles. Are you going to save that for your own stash, or are you going to distribute it amongst your friends?
Save it.
You're going to save it?
Because I don't think – I would not give my friends something that I wasn't exceptionally proud of.
You're not exceptionally proud of this?
No.
Really?
I told you. I would like to bump up the mango.
Okay. A room for improvement. Yes, there always is. But I think this is a very solid
– If you're going that way, like, hey, here's my first attempt. Uh-huh. I think absolutely I pass this out. Yeah.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it ages.
Yeah. Who knows? You'll see if the heat subsides, mm-hmm. if it continues, or if the mango pops out for some reason. I don't know.
Or what if the mango and apple just drop out and there's nothing but heat?
I mean, hey, there you go. There's a. Hey, do you want this 110 degree weather? Here you go. No, but I'm really excited because we bottled off quite a bit, and I'm curious to know people's opinion. And like you said, you like feedback. I like feedback because mm-hmm. I think you and I agree. You know, bump up the fruit, but I would still crush this. I would still enjoy it at home. I would love to share this at like a bottle share. Like, hey, here's my first cider. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Everyone. I'd love that. But Joel, is there anything else you have for us today on this episode?
No, just like I was just saying, please come down and visit. If you come in, introduce yourself to me and bring a friend and don't be afraid to give cider a try.
Hell yeah, I like that. Well, Joel, thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday, your busy schedule, to sit down with me and
it's been a blast.
I'm glad it is. Like I said, I cannot wait to see what happens for us in the future. I wish you the best luck at Mountain West as a cider maker, and I can't wait to our next small batch, brother.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Until the next cider, my friends.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.